Coming back to the Xfinity series this season on a part-time basis, how much more gratifying is this moment for you to experience another win this level?
Well, this is incredibly gratifying. This is exactly what I signed up for when Coach called me. Yeah, Coach called me at the end of last year and asked me to come back and to be a part of the organization and to help in any way I could outside of the race car, and then to drive really as much as I wanted. And we looked at the schedule, and the very first conversation we ever had was to come and run full time. And I said, I can't really tell Janice that I'm retiring from full-time racing to go full-time racing, even though it is the Xfinity Series. So we talked a lot about it and settled on the schedule that we have now. And it is the perfect balance of being able to be home, you know, some weekends, and then go race and enjoy racing race cars, which is what I love to do. I mean, I absolutely love to drive race cars, and it's way more fun when you drive competitive race cars. And so to run in the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs Racing is incredible. And this is where I got my opportunity, right? And I felt like when I left Joe Gibbs Racing that I had some regret. I had some regret that I didn't achieve as much when I was there as I would have hoped, and that I didn't climb the ladder, per se, at Joe Gibbs Racing like I wanted and like I hoped when I got there. And so my career took a different path, and God used that as an opportunity for me to grow as a person and as a race car driver over the next 15, 16 years from the time I left. And, you know, it's amazing that I got the opportunity to come back. Not everybody gets that opportunity. I realize how lucky I am and how grateful I am to be able to semi-retire and to race and to go back to the place I started and finish my career where it started.
And then racing for the Dash for Cash part of this as well. Obviously, you and Chandler are battling at that point for the race win, but what's going through your mind as you know, he's hungry for that victory just as much as you are?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the restart before, we kind of ran side by side, and I thought it was very fair, very clean. We were racing really hard, but very, very clean. I was giving him plenty of room. And then the next restart, I was still the leader, and I chose the top because I realized how hard it was for me to clear him on the bottom. And he got the bottom, and he used me up, man. He ran me way wide, and I was pretty upset that he used as much racetrack as he did and kind of ran me up into the marbles. So as soon as I got clear and got down behind him, I made sure that he knew that I didn't appreciate that.
We're going to go to Bob next.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first, do you ever wonder like how rough you should be out there on track knowing that you're not full time?
No, I've always prided, you know, had a lot of pride in how I race. My racecraft has always been one. I think you can ask anybody. I race hard, but I've always raced fair. I've never been a guy, I don't think any of you guys have seen me, you know, be the guy that's the a-hole. You know, I don't just drive through people. I don't use people up. I race very respectfully. And so I don't take any different approach racing in the Xfinity Series, you know, regardless of the fact that I'm part-time or full-time. And something else to note is that even though I'm racing part-time, this 20 car is racing for an owner's championship. And so it's really important to score points, score stage points, win, get bonus points, all of those things. Because when it comes time for the playoffs, we expect to race for an owner's championship with this car. And so, yeah, I don't, even though I'm not in the car every week and that I'm not racing for a driver's championship, I'm still going to race hard and race to win.
And so next Saturday, are you at Texas? Are you sitting at home watching Texas?
I'm sitting at home, Bob.
Is it DVR, and are you out doing things with family and
yeah,
watch it Sunday or Monday or whenever you get to it? Or, like, what's the plan?
I don't know. Janice and the kids usually have the weekends planned. But I tell you what, that has been the most eye-opening thing for me. My entire career, I've been consumed with going to the racetrack, right? And I had no idea what life was like outside of going to the racetrack. Like, I honestly didn't. I got on an airplane every Thursday or Friday and flew to whatever the next race was. And then in the off season, you just completely check out. And so it has been really, really eye-opening to know that there's a whole other life out there. Like, not everybody is consumed with racing 24/7, 365 days a year. And so I've gotten to experience that. I've gotten to, just this past weekend, we went and hung out with our neighbors and hung out on their back patio and sat around a campfire and visited. And, yeah, it was enjoyable. The kids swam in the pool and it was, I don't know, it was what normal people do. And I've not been normal for, you know, 40 years of my life, but it has been really enjoyable to be able to have a much better work-life balance and not have to go to the racetrack. And I think that that's the one thing that people don't understand. You guys understand it because you follow the sport and you go to, I assume you go to every race. I don't know. But when you are full-time in the Cup Series and you run those 40 weeks, they say 38, but it's really 40. It's 40 weeks a year and you have to go. No matter if somebody in your family is getting married, no matter if somebody in your family's having a birthday party, no matter if somebody is passed away, no matter if you're sick, no matter if somebody in your family is really sick, you get on an airplane and you travel to the next race regardless. And nothing else matters as much as going to the racetrack. At least that's what you believe when you're racing in the Cup Series. And so for me to finally remove myself from that has been really eye-opening, and it's been gratifying to be able to go to the racetrack when I want to go to the racetrack and run the races that I want to run, and do it in competitive race cars, because that's what makes it so much fun.
We're going to go to Jacob in the back and then over to Nathan.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Eric, two for you. You had help bringing the check up there. You talked about how gratifying it was to do this with JGR, but how gratifying is it to see the joy on the kids' faces and have them be able to experience this with you as well?
It's amazing. I remember when I was a kid, the emotions and the feeling of joy and just, you know, just pure elation when my grandfather would win. And I got to run out of the grandstands. You know, he raced dirt sprint cars all over the Southeast. And so I would run out of the grandstands, or I'd run from the trailer to go meet him on the front straightaway. And I have so many pictures of me, Alex's age and slightly younger, holding a checkered flag, standing in front of his sprint car, and just so happy. And for me to be able to do that with my kids and share that experience, because it's hard. It's hard to win at this level. And when you get to do that and experience that joy with your family, for me, there's nothing better. Like, I love the guys on the team, don't get me wrong, and I greatly appreciate how hard they work to give me fast race cars, but I love it so much more when I get to celebrate with them. Like, I've been able to celebrate wins where they weren't there, and you FaceTime them or whatever, and it is not the same. It is so much better when they are here and that they get to share in that victory lane celebration.
And you talked earlier about the joy and the feeling of getting the call from coach and coming back and doing this with JGR. Would you have considered an opportunity like this with any other organization? Would you have wanted to do this with any other team?
No, not a chance. Nope. There's only one team. It wasn't even on my radar. And coach called, and we talked about it. We at the Roval in Charlotte, we sat in his bus for about an hour and talked about it and talked about what it would look like. And we had a little bit of a different opinion. I already talked about that on what it would look like. And we followed up with a conversation a few times throughout that next week. And it was like, all right, let's do this. There was no thought of doing this with any other organization. And I think for me, the only way I can describe it is God works in mysterious ways. And when you look at my career and the fact that I even got the opportunity the first time, and JD and coach called me on a conference call to hire me, I was 19 years old. I was going to college at UCF trying to become a mechanical engineer because I was racing as a hobbyist, really. And I had high hopes that I would get lucky and make it to NASCAR, but the reality was it wasn't more than likely it wasn't going to happen. And when I got that opportunity to do the diversity program, and I won that opportunity, and coach and JD called me, changed my life. Literally changed my life. And I remember JD said, I asked him, I said, well, when do you want me to start? And he said, as quick as you can be here. And I said, yes, sir. And I'll tell you guys this. My mom still is mad at me about it. It was the first week of December. I had my final exams in the next week. I went to the U-Haul place, and I got a little 8-foot U-Haul and hooked it up to the back of my truck, loaded up all my clothes, my computer, my backpack, just how it was, threw my futon and my futon mattress in the little 8-foot U-Haul trailer, and drove to North Carolina and didn't take my final exams. And I was there. I was there 2 days later and checked in for work. And my mom was so mad, so upset. And I said, Mom, I promise you, if this racing deal doesn't work out, I will go back to school. I'll get my engineering degree and I'll go get a job. But this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And he said I could start whenever I want. I'm starting now. It worked out. I've not had to go back to school yet. So, and I'm 40. So I don't think I could at this point.
We're going to go to Nathan and then Davey.
Nathan Song with the podium finish. Eric, I've got two for you. First, I mean, you know, I know how disappointed you were after the cup race last fall. Does this kind of help make up for that a little bit?
No. No. I've ran so many cup races here, and I've always felt like I was in contention to win. I would say more often than not. I don't know what the actual number is, but if I've run 25 cup races here, I feel like in 15 of the 25, I've been in contention to win. I've ran in the top five and led laps and been near the front and just never been able to seal the deal. And when we came back here in the fall, I had a lot of family here because a lot of people wanted to come. It's close to home. So we had a lot of people here, and it was, you know, it was enjoyable, and everybody was like, all right, we're going to watch, you know, your second to last race. Everybody didn't want to fly out to Phoenix. And when I took the lead in that race, I remember thinking about, like, my parents, my grandparents, and everybody sitting up in the stands, all the people that not only put a lot of work into making me a race car driver, but a lot of money, a lot of sacrifice. And I remember thinking about what that would feel like to be able to share and celebrate that win with them throughout the course of that last run. And I was putting the very best laps I could together, and Blaney was just too strong. I was on two tires, and I couldn't hold him off. He was on four tires, and he drove around me with 20 laps to go. And that hurt. That was really, really painful. I was disappointed. If I could have any race back that to do over, it would be that one.
And you touched on it a little bit a minute ago, but last week Joe was talking about how much you meant to him, how much you meant to JD. I'm just curious, just overall, that entire family, just what is the relationship with them meant to you?
Well, I said it a minute ago. They literally changed my life. Like, if I didn't get that phone call from JD and Coach to move to North Carolina to drive a race car for them, I would have raced maybe another year of super late models in the Southeast, and our family would have been out of money. We couldn't afford to keep doing it at the level we were doing it to try and win races. And I would have got my engineering degree, and I would have either went back to my grandfather's shop and worked at my grandfather's body shop, or I would have taken my engineering degree and moved to North Carolina, and I would have been an engineer on a race car. Which there's nothing wrong with that, but my hopes and my dreams were to be a race car driver. And so I got that opportunity. I moved to North Carolina, be a race car driver. And JD poured so much into me as a human being, way, way more than just race car driver. Like, he would call me into his office and sit me down, and I would be sitting across from him, and he would ask me, like, how's it going? How's your life? What are you doing? Who are you hanging out with? Are you making sure you're hanging out with godly people? You're not running, you know, you're not running crazy. He'd just grill me on, you know, where's your walk with the Lord? What are you doing? What's the deal with this girl, Janice? You know, and I remember he sat me down in his office one day and he said, "You are an idiot." And I was like, "Okay, am I still employed?" And he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "You have a beautiful girlfriend. She loves you. You're broke. And you're an average race car driver trying to get better. And she still loves you. She's not in it for the money. She loves you for you. Hurry up and marry her." And, you know, just stuff like that. That's one of many conversations to where he just spoke so much life into me as a human being. And I, even when I left, and I was really disgruntled when I left over the whole Milwaukee thing, and I had an opportunity to leave, and I did, to go share that car with Mark Martin. But even when I left, I have so many memories of conversations that I had with JD post JGR, and he would always find me on the grid and give me a hug and tell me he loved me and ask me what was going on in our life. He came to Janice and I's wedding. We got married in 2010. I left Joe Gibbs Racing in 2007, so it's 3 years later, and he was at our wedding. You know, it just speaks to the person he was and just how much he meant to me, that he cared about me that much. He was an awesome human being, and he poured a lot into me to make me a better person and to put me on a path, to follow the Lord and to get my priorities straight. And as a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid, it is really easy to go off the rails and to get into a lot of trouble and do things. When you leave home and you're racing and you're chasing the lifestyle of being a race car driver, and you're making good money, you can really easily go off the rails. And JD just wouldn't allow that for me. He spoke a lot of life into me.
Go ahead, Davey.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. You said that you felt a lot of pressure tonight. I mean, was it the most pressure you've ever felt? Where does it rank on, you know, your racing career pressure? Because to your point, this win has a lot of extra meaning for you.
Yeah, there's always pressure, right? Anytime you strap into a race car, there's pressure to perform. This is a performance-driven business. If you don't perform, you need to find something else to do. And so there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that. And there's pressure as a competitive person that you naturally put on yourself to perform. So naturally, just showing up to the racetrack, there's pressure to perform. But for me, I just felt like I was expected to win. I expected myself to win. I felt that there was a lot of outside pressure to win. I felt like internally in the organization, everybody thought we're going to win, just because of my years of experience and just, you know, all the cup racing and performing at a high level throughout the years, and then getting into Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity cars are the best cars in the garage, right? So everybody automatically assumes you put Eric Almirola, Cup veteran, in a Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity car, he's going to win. And so I did feel a lot of pressure to do that. And so the first couple weeks was eye-opening. You know, it was a brand-new team starting a fourth team at Joe Gibbs Racing. And for me, the Xfinity cars are very, very different than the Cup cars. And so the last 2 years or 3 years of driving the next-gen car, you have to learn a completely different driving style than the way you drive the Xfinity cars. And these races are so much shorter. In a cup car, you can really learn how to manage the race, manage the tires, manage the brakes, all of those things. And then you get in an Xfinity car and it's like, wait, what? The stage is already over? Like, it is crazy how fast these races go compared to a cup race. And so I've had to completely just rework and rethink how I drive the race car, how I approach the race, how I, you know, race the other guys. Like, the racecraft in this series is much different than the Cup series. So I had to learn a lot really quickly. And then, oh, by the way, I'm doing it every so often. So you're not in that rhythm of constantly being in the race car, showing up to the racetrack every week, and just having that comfort level of being in a race car 5 days ago and then strapping back in to go practice. When you take a few weeks off, there is a little bit of rust you have to knock off. And so, yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be as easy as everybody thought, but I certainly wanted to live up to the expectations. So getting the win tonight, I feel like we checked that box, and now we can just go try to win a bunch more. But at least we got the first one.
How is the racecraft different for you? What's easier? What's more difficult?
Well, I feel like on the Cup Series, no matter who you race throughout the field, guys really make mistakes. And they race really hard, just like the guys in the Xfinity Series do. But in the Xfinity Series, guys make more mistakes. They bobble. They miss their marks. They miss their lines. They overcharge the corner, they roast the rear tires. There's just a lot of different things that when you watch, you're like, oh, yeah, he's still got some learning to do. But still, they're fast. Like, speed is speed. Like, talent is talent. And so there's a lot of drivers in the Xfinity Series that have a lot of talent and can go really, really fast. They just have a lot to learn as far as racecraft and making their stuff last and manage their stuff. And you can get away with it in the Xfinity Series because the stages are short, the races are short. But that's one thing that I've just noticed going from Cup and racing in Cup to then going to the Xfinity Series is just that the racecraft is different. And there's just things, and I don't want to say all of it, right? I don't want to publicly broadcast it, but there is things that I just notice and recognize when you watch that you're like, yeah, that's, you would expect that. I probably made those same mistakes when I was young.
We're going to come back up to the front and go to Zach, and then we're going to check up in the press box.
You mentioned it, so I'm feeling disgruntled after the Milwaukee deal all those years ago to come back here, win in the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing car. What's the emotion? Does that factor into how gratifying this one is?
Yes.
You know, after, you know, some almost 20 years later?
Yep, absolutely. When Coach called me and we put the whole deal together, that was the very first thought in my mind. I want to go win in a Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity car, and I want to put a banner up in that shop that has my name on it where I cross the start-finish line in the race car. Yeah, that whole Milwaukee deal, I've time heals, right? Like, I've certainly moved on from that, and I'm grateful for that situation because it forced me to – not forced me. It made me look at other opportunities because before that, I had been approached from a few other race teams about moving over and becoming a development driver for them. And I never thought twice about it because JGR was home. And my goal was to start and finish my career there. And now I get to do that. But it took a lot of twists and turns in between. And that was because of that Milwaukee event. I got out of the car there in Milwaukee. And I understood afterwards. I sat down and had a long conversation after that event with JD and Coach. Coach was actually back from coaching the Redskins. They were off, and so he was at the shop, and I remember sitting in the office with JD and Coach and having a conversation and really just expressing how hurt I was and how disappointed I was that they pulled me out of the race car when I was leading the race. And I understood, right? Like, they were in the middle of contract negotiations with Rockwell Automations to come back and to sponsor me full-time the next year, and they thought that was the right thing to do. The executives of Rockwell were at the race, and they saw Denny sitting there and said, hey, well, if he's going to – at the time, he was getting ready to get in Stephen Wallace's car because Stephen Wallace was sick. And they said, is he allowed to get in somebody else's car? And they were like, yeah. They just come down pit road, Stephen will get out, Denny will get in. And they're like, well, if he can get in any car, we want him to get in our car. And so they started pushing for that, and they made a decision to do it. And I was hurt, really, really hurt by that. And I understand it now. I understand the bigger picture and why they did it. But the reality is, if I would have went on to win that race, Rockwell would have been probably just as happy, and maybe we wouldn't have been able to secure him as a sponsor for me to race full-time in that car. But regardless, you can't go back and change it. The outcome was what it was, and I was hurt and disappointed, and I expressed that, and those were a lot of the reasons that I started looking at opportunities to leave. And I'm grateful for it. As much as it hurt in the moment, my career took a lot of twists and turns, and but I got to meet a lot of great people along the way. It really opened my eyes to how influential a sponsor is. When I showed up at Joe Gibbs Racing, I was under the assumption that the race team handles the sponsor. I just drive the car, and that's it. You know, there was no in between. And when I realized how influential the sponsor was from that day forward, I said, that'll never happen to me again. I will make sure that I am at least aware and in the know, and that I work my butt off to make sure that I am in good and in tight with the sponsors. And that really developed who I was as a race car driver outside of the car going forward.
Do we have any questions up in the press box? All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Eric.
Enjoy Texas. I'll watch on TV.